and Brianna's parents here visiting with us, and I'm glad that they were in the services. Someone asked me earlier in the foyer, this is this morning, who those folks were, and I said that that was Dustin's parents and Brianna's parents, and then I was graciously corrected. I said, that was not true. Those are DJ's grandparents. And that's really all that matters, I think. And so, but we're glad to have you all here. Psalm 119, if you would find your place there. We've been journeying through this psalm for several weeks now, and we start the fifth stanza tonight. It's the fifth Hebrew letter, and if you have those markings and notations as you go through, you'll find that that fifth one is the letter He. It symbolizes the psalmist coming before the Lord and offering a prayer before Him to keep him in the right way and to help him navigate through the trials of life. So, for our outline and for our sake of following along, I've entitled this fifth stanza, Navigation. We've walked through several now as we've gone little by little. And so, number five, we'll watch as the psalmist learns and as he teaches us what it means to navigate through this world. And he wants to keep the statutes of the Lord unto the end of his life. By the way, that's a great goal. If we were to sum up stanza five, it would be, I want to navigate through this world so that I get to the end of my life and I've kept the Word of God. And that's a great goal. That ought to be all of our goal. He wants to finish well. The Apostle Paul wanted to finish well. The Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 17, verse 4, said that He wanted to finish well, or to do the will of His Father. And by the way, both Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ did. But you understand, ladies and gentlemen, not every believer finishes well. It should be the case that a good beginning ought lead to a good ending. But it doesn't always work that way. In fact, we can look through the Scripture and we can find there are examples of that. Men like Lot and Samson and King Saul. Those were men who started out well, but they didn't finish well. And ending well is the consequence of us navigating through this life, and as we do so, adhering to the principles, the statutes, the commandments of the Word of God. Well, what does that look like? In this fifth stanza, he puts that into a framework for us so that we can begin to visualize and learn from. That's what it would be in our life as well. If you're able to stand, let me invite you to do that. We'll read this fifth stanza, and then we'll pray and we'll get into the Scripture tonight. The Bible says, beginning in verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of Thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep Thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of Thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto Thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken Thou me in Thy way. Establish Thy word unto Thy servant who is devoted to Thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for Thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after Thy precepts. Quicken me in Thy righteousness. Lord, thank You that we can be here tonight. Thank You, Lord, again for those who have put a priority on being in Your house. And I pray, God, that as we look into the Scripture, You'll help us to see what You have for us. Lord, take these verses, and may they not just be a list of something that is voiced from a writer, but Lord, help us to see in our own hearts and lives areas where we can increase to become more like You. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Let me begin tonight by asking you to ponder a question. It's not a question that you'll answer out loud. It's not a question that you'll raise your hand or not raise your hand. But here's the question. What is really important to you? Now just think about it for a moment. And as we work through these verses, we'll watch some of that come to the surface in the psalmist's life. If you were to put on a sheet of paper tonight the things that are just most urgent and pressing right now in your life, what would be on that list? I hope that somewhere on that list there would be something about a relationship to the Lord. I hope that somewhere on the list of importance there is something that somehow relates to your walk with God. I hope and I trust that the things which take precedent in your life are the things that are spiritual matters. And as we walk through the Word of God, we find out that there are some guidelines or guardrails that help us with that. The things that take precedent in our life, the things that we consider a priority, they will govern the decisions and the choices that we make. You ever notice this? What you feel is important is usually what you end up getting to do. From time to time, people will say things like, well, I'm sorry I didn't make it to church. I forgot to tithe. I haven't had time to go soul winning. But the truth of the matter is, that which is important to you, you find a way to do. That's always been true. That which is really important, we find time in our schedule to make it happen. In fact, we can say that your money and your time, those two things, will reveal what really takes precedent in your life. And the psalmist starts out this section by giving to us a desire that as he navigates through this life, that he would have the right priorities. He expresses that his desire is to have right goals and right desires, and that his priorities would be in the right area and in the right order in his life. And by the way, those ought to be the same for all of us. And so, in Psalm 119, this fifth stanza, we will categorize four of them. Now, we're not going to get all four of them tonight. I'm sure that's not a shocker to you. But we'll categorize four of them, and as we do so, we gain a little bit of insight on how, as you and I navigate the journey of the Christian life, how do we keep our focus on the Lord? How do we keep our focus where that it needs to be? If you fail to keep your focus on that which really matters in your life, and the Bible tells us that one of these days you're going to end up wasting your life, and that which you thought was important will go up in smoke as you stand before Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So, there are some areas that the psalmist highlights that he is learning to navigate in his own Christian life. I would encourage you, as we follow along, I trust that you do take notes, I would encourage you to jot these down. The first one, letter A, is he is learning to navigate what he learned. Or I put it this way, what I learned. One of the things that you will navigate and you will learn to navigate are the things that you actually learn. In verse 33 and in verse number 34, the psalmist gives us a picture of that. Life is a journey. We understand that the Christian life is a journey through this world. Our home is not here. If you're saved, our home is not here as far as a final resting place. Thank God that we have the promise of heaven. Thank God we have the promise of eternity. We are just passing through. The Bible calls us strangers. It calls us pilgrims. Because this is just on the way to where we will one day spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're passing through, there's going to be some time when you need direction. But you know, in order for you to learn, you've got to first be teachable. In order for you to learn some things, you have to be able to be taught. Notice the very first word of this fifth stanza. It's the word teach. And it gives to us an insight into the psalmist's heart. The word teach there carries the idea of instruct or pour into my life. A great way to illustrate that would be to take a cup and to take a bottle of water and to pour that water into that cup. In this particular passage and in this particular word, it has the idea that the teacher is that instrument of a vessel that is pouring into the cup. And the psalmist says, look, I want you to pour into me the Word of God. He is saying as he comes before the Lord, Lord, pour into me, bathe me, Lord, drench me, if you will, in the truth of the Word of God. Lord, teach me. Now, I want to tell you, before we get into the rest of this particular verse, the sad truth is that not every Christian is teachable. Not every Christian comes to the house of God to be taught. Some people come to church because they have to. Some people come to church because that's just what they do. Some people come to church because they've grown up going to church and that's just what you're supposed to do. And the list goes on. But there are some folks who come to the house of God who say, I want to learn the Word of God. Teach me. Teach me the Scripture. And the psalmist says, Lord, pour into me the Word of God. What kind of a person says, Lord, teach me? Well, I made a little list here in my notes. It's the person that doesn't know it all. You know, nobody who knows everything ever wants you to teach them anything. You ever have somebody work with you or work for you that knows everything? I'm sure all of us have. And by the way, all of us have probably been that person at one time or another. And the person who doesn't know it all needs to be taught and is willing to be taught. The person that wants to improve says, teach me. The person that hungers for more, particularly of the Word of God, says, teach me. The person, here's one, the person who has made mistakes in the past says, teach me. You know, one of the keys of being a teachable person is that you realize that you ain't perfect. And you've messed up along the way too. But somewhere along the way, you've been saved for 30 years, and somewhere along the way, you have reached some spiritual status in your heart that you have climbed to, and that's a wonderful thing, I suppose. But if you're not careful, it can lead yourself to forgetting that you made mistakes too. You once walked there as well. But the person who knows they have made mistakes before is a teachable person. The person that wants the Lord to be glorified says, teach me. Teach me, Lord. And so, here's the psalmist who understands the importance of learning. Why? Because learning affects living. There's a good tag phrase. I didn't even mean for it to be, but it worked out well. You know, what you put into your mind will eventually become the attitude of your life. What you put into your mind will eventually govern and dictate your heart. And I ought to be a teachable person. If I'm going to live as God wants me to live, then I need God to teach me. Now watch. Here's the amazing thing about this. There is no place in all of the Bible where a person needs to be taught to sin. There's no place in the Scripture that says, teach me to do this wrong. Teach me to sin. Why? Because sin comes natural. Because we are all sinners by nature. That's who we are. We don't sin because somehow we just stubbed our toe along the way in the journey of life and voila, we messed up and now we've become sinners. We sin because we are sinners. We were born sinners. That's what sinners do. They sin. It comes natural to us. But I do need help living for God. I do need to be taught in knowing what it looks like and what it means to live for the Lord. There is this picture here of coming before the Lord and saying, God, there's some things in my life where I need your direction. Now, I would say that in the position of pastor, it is many times the case when folks will come and they will ask spiritual counsel from the man of God. And I think that's a biblical thing. I think that ought to be the case. But you know what I found more often than not is the case, and as the years go on, it tends to be the case even more. Most of the time when a person comes and they ask for advice, they really have already made their mind up anyways. They're not looking to be taught. They really don't want an answer. It's most of the time a formality that says, well, I read somewhere in the Bible that you ought to get counsel and that there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors and that you ought to seek the advice of the pastor. And so, preacher, I'm just here to tell you this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's not the same spirit that the psalmist is asking for here. You know, there's no point in you asking for direction if you're not going to heed the direction. There's no point in you asking for advice if you're not going to follow the advice, certainly of the Word of God. Now, how many of you men in particular, how many of you men enjoy as you're driving pulling off somewhere in order to stop and get directions? I see no hands. It used to be the case that was kind of a male stigma that I'm not asking for directions. You know, I guess that in our culture we don't have to anymore. because we've got all of the information at our fingertips. You know what I find funny about that? We don't want to ask for advice, but we're willing to let Alexa and Cortana and Siri tell us everything all the time. Isn't that interesting? And so the psalmist says, you know what? I don't know everything. I need some direction. You ever have someone give you directions that goes something like this? Well, you go down the road about a half a mile, and then you make a right, and then you go about another mile or a mile and a half, and then you make a left or a right. I can't remember exactly which way the road goes, but you go left or right. Then you go about 5 miles, and you'll see a red barn. When you pass the red barn, then you make a left. You can't miss it. Ever somebody give you directions like that? I mean, I'm from the country. I'm from farming community, and that's how they give direction. A lot of the roads, they don't even have names. They don't have road signs. I suppose they have a name somewhere along the way, but that's the directions that you give. If you're like most people, by the time you get to the second turn, you have no idea what they said anyways. You've already forgotten what those directions were. The psalmist comes before the Lord and places a value in, look, there are some areas of my life I got to have direction. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, all of us need guidance from time to time. And we certainly need to pay attention to the Lord's leading, especially if it's contrary to our ways. So the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Do you know that God doesn't promise that you're going to have an easy path in the Christian life? He does promise that He will provide for you. He does promise that He will guide you. He does promise that He will protect you, but He doesn't promise that it's always going to be easy. And that's why along the way, I need to have His direction. Can I ask you a question? Are you teachable? Are you a teachable person? Here's several ways that you can answer that. I wish I had sat down and made a list. This is one of those areas where I would often make a secondary outline, and I did not do that. But you know that you're a teachable person for several different areas along the way in your life. Number one, you know you're teachable if your enemy can teach you. Number two, you know that you're teachable if somebody younger than you can teach you. Number three, you know that you are teachable if someone less experienced than you can teach you. Now, that's not easy to do at work, is it? It's not easy at all, especially if you've been in the same job for years and you have established who you are and you've worked to earn seniority and your place. And along the way, they bring in some new person. Maybe he's a lot younger and maybe he's a lot newer. But you know, they might still could teach you something. I mean, you can add to that list a long way of different things in our life. That doesn't even touch the spiritual realm. Are you a teachable person? How much do you really want to learn the Word of God? Do you come to the house of God with a hunger and a thirst so that you can grow and learn the Word of God? You can come to the house of God and you can just snack on the Scripture, if you will, or you can come every week and pull yourself up to the table and have a full course meal every week so that you will be taught in the ways of the Word of God. Those that are filled with their own folly and their own pride spurn the idea that anybody can teach them anything at all. I have long since thought in my heart, you do what you want with it, but I have long since thought in my heart, people that don't come to Sunday school are obviously usually people who think they don't need to learn anything else. Now, you may be in here and you may not come to Sunday school, and don't take cause with that, but the truth of the matter is you can blame it on the Sunday school teacher. You can say, I don't like that class. You can say, I don't like this. Well, first of all, find another class and find a teacher that will teach you. But there is always something for all of us to learn, especially when it comes from the Word of God. And the root of that, of a person who can't be taught, is usually an independent person who thinks they know everything about everything. The reverse of that is a person who is humble before God, just thankful that God would use them. Here's the irony. When we think that we have it hidden, usually our folly is evident before everyone. So the psalmist, who by the way, has already expressed to us in the earlier writings,
this humility and this desire to grow. The psalmist comes before us and he says, you know, I haven't arrived spiritually and I need to learn some things. You know that King Solomon was that way? One of the first prayers that Solomon prayed when he became king was in 2 Kings chapter 3. And he said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people but thee, O Lord? This is a great prayer that Solomon recognized. Lord, I need your help to do this job. Remember the promise that we have from God on that matter, James chapter 1. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who upbraideth not and giveth to all men liberally. So, the psalmist perseveres as he navigates through this life. Watch the last part of verse number 33. He says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. And then he says, and I shall keep it unto the end. Now that phrase, in and of itself, is a convicting phrase. The word end there literally carries the definition of grabbing onto the heel. It's the last that is left of a person. And so he is saying, from my head to my toe, everywhere in my life, until the very end of my life, Lord, I want to make sure that I am going to keep your statutes. If you're going to navigate through the hilltops of life and continually go through the trials and the circumstances, I got news for you. You're going to need the grace of God. You're going to need God's power. You're going to need God's strength. You're going to need His direction, or else you're going to wither, you're going to fall away, and you will die spiritually. I have in my yard some trees that are dying. Some of them are rotten at the center. Some of them have been kind of on their way out for years and years. And the amazing thing about those trees is that every year they will still flower. They will still give off some kind of a leaf or some kind of a flower. And year after year, more limbs begin to fall. And you can see as they are in a worse state than they were. And you say, well, preacher, you should cut the trees down. And I suppose that they probably should come down. But the truth of the matter is, there's coming a day when that tree is going to just wither up and die because it does not have the sustenance that it needs, which for a tree comes from the inside. Somewhere along the way, it began to rot. Somewhere along the way, it gave up. Somewhere along the way, that which fed that tree began to suffer. And now, you're looking at this mighty oak or this mighty pine, and it is dying. You know, the same thing's true spiritually. If you're not being guided, if you're not being fed by the Word of God, if you're not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Word of God, then the truth of the matter is you're going to eventually wither and die as well. There's an application here that the psalmist gives about learning or being taught the truth and then holding on to that truth to the very end. So I want to be taught, and then he says, Lord, I want to keep it to the very end. All right, let me give you an example. If I said to you tonight, 2 + 2 = your answer would be 4. I heard a few of you that were struggling with that, and I understand. 2 + 2 = 4. Now let me ask you a question. How did you know that? Well, somebody taught you somewhere. For just about everybody in this room, there's probably one or two of you that were born that way, and you came into this world doing math. But somebody taught you somewhere along the way, and because they taught you, you know that 2 + 2 = 4. If 3 years from now, somebody says to you that 2 + 2 = 5, I hope you understand that's not true. Right? Did you hear about that kid in Chicago in school this year who insisted that 2 + 2 was 5? True story. I mean, he pitched an ever-living fit. He went out into the hallway and was screaming and hollering, and the teacher couldn't control him, and they called the parents in, and the parents sided with the kid. They said, if he feels that 2 + 2 = 5, then it obviously is 5 to him. I don't even know what that means. 5 to him? The school system ruled that he would get a okay on his page. And the teacher was not allowed to mark it wrong. Because to him, 2 + 2 = 5. Well, somewhere along the journey of that kid's life, somebody's going to bust that bubble for him. And it may be the bank, I don't know, but somebody's going to bust his bubble. Because the truth is, 2 + 2 = 4, all right? You know that. You were taught it. And watch this. The lessons that you truly learn, now watch this, they stick with you to the end. Doesn't matter if you learned it when you were 3, you learned it when you were 5, and you were in kindergarten, whatever it is, you learned it and it has stuck with you and you're going to keep it to the end. Everybody with me? Now let me ask you a question. If there was a time in your life when you said, Lord, teach me your way, and that resulted in a lesson or a message or some Bible reading that enlightened you or taught you, and the truth was exposed, that resulted in a Bible principle or a standard. If you haven't kept that until the end, how faithful have you been? God has taught it to you. And if the Lord has taught it to you, then you're obligated to keep it. Now, wait a minute. If that is true spiritually, then why is it that Christians are changing their Bible? They're changing the way they dress. They're changing convictions that they have. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If there was a time in your life when truth was given, and a principle was shown, and a standard was in your life, but you didn't keep that till the end, something doesn't match with that. Never cease to be amazed how some folks who've been saved for a long time, all of a sudden, things in their life begin to change. All of a sudden, their social media posts change. Their desires change. Their convictions in their life change. What they once stood for changes. And the list goes on. Did you keep it to the end? Now, ladies and gentlemen, every Christian in this room, from the preacher to every seat, is susceptible of that happening to us. You know where the wisdom is found in verse 33? The psalmist knows that can happen to him too. That's why he says, Lord, I want you to teach me, and then I want you to help me that I'll be faithful and that I will keep it to the very end. You understand that in times of stress and sorrow and temptation, the Holy Spirit will bring to your heart those passages of Scripture or those places in your life where God has taught you a Bible truth, and they will help to navigate you. That's what this is about. So my question tonight is, are you learning the Word of God? Are you being taught the Word of God? Are you hiding the Word of God in your heart? When we launched the year 2021, we gave to you, or we set out, and we made a big deal about the fact this is a weekly Bible memory verse program. And many folks, in fact, I dare say that most every family in this room has probably taken one of those home. It's probably tucked away in your Bible somewhere. But I wonder, here we are all these weeks later, are you still hiding the Word of God in your heart? Are you keeping it to the end? If your attitude is not, Lord, teach me, then that ought to start today. It ought to start tonight. Look at verse number 34. For the second time, the psalmist says in two verses, I shall keep. In verse number 33, teach me, O way thy Lord, teach me, O Lord, thy way unto the statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. And then he says, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Two times he makes the statement, I shall keep. Now watch. He not only in verse number 33 wants the Lord to teach him, but he wants to be sure that he understands what he's being taught. Now you have to think this through. This is not one of these sets of verses where you can just sit back and pretend like the preacher's going to tell you a story and it's just all going to be wonderful. You have to think it. You have to think it through for a moment. You have to apply the Word of God as we're hearing it. The psalmist is saying, Lord, I want you to teach me, but I want to make sure that I understand it. Do you know that just because you know something doesn't mean you understand something? Let me say that again. Just because you know it doesn't mean you understand it. How many of you know that when you get in your car tomorrow, it will take you to the place of your destination? How many of you hope your car will? Maybe we should put it that way. But how many could stand up and really give us a clear, I mean from 12 volt to 6 volt to 3 volt, you could give us an understanding of how that works inside that hood? Very few people. All you know is you're supposed to turn the key, and it's supposed to go. You put it in D, and it's supposed to drive. If it doesn't, something's wrong. You know it, but that doesn't mean you understand it. And the psalmist divides in verse 33, in verse number 34, he divides them, and he says, Lord, I'm glad that you've taught me that. Now help me to understand, what does that mean in my Christian life? Now watch. We don't have time for all this tonight, I'm sure. But do you ever come to the place in your Christian life where you know God is teaching you something, but you don't quite understand it yet? By the way, sometimes those are the hardest lessons to learn and the most painful, aren't they? And he gets it. He gets it. And so he says, Lord, I want to understand it. I don't just want to go through the motions, but Lord, I want to put into practice what I learned. That's why he says, I'm going to keep it. Now, this morning in my Sunday school class, we looked at that very same word, keep. It means to guard that which is valuable, to hold close to you something which is precious. And the psalmist said, I'm going to keep, I'm going to value, I'm going to guard the law or the Word of God. The priority should be that we read the Word of God, look at it closely, and not forget the truth of the Word of God. All right? Are you with me? So as we started this stanza, he said, here's some things that you're going to have to learn as you navigate through life. And you know, it's the same for us. You ought to spend time reading the Word of God. You ought to be taught the Word of God. But then as you're taught the Word of God, you ought to go out and practice it. It's not enough to just read it. You got to learn it. It's not enough to learn it. You got to practice it. And so this is what he says is going to help me as I navigate through the difficulties of my life. A vital part of living right is not forgetting that which you've been taught. You can't forget that. You've been taught that. You see, a man can fill his head with knowledge and still not have real understanding about what he's doing. This, by the way, is one of the reasons why young people struggle coming out of Baptist churches. Because they've sat under preaching where they've been taught, 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 but they don't always understand what they've been taught. Now, I have growing children. I'm not saying that we have arrived there in our family. We're still learning it at the same time. But the truth of the matter is that is a symptom of our churches. We are sometimes good at teaching the Word of God, and right, we should be, but we're not always good at practicing it. So the psalmist helps us recognize that in our own life, there are some people that navigate through life just fine no matter what comes their way. There are other people that seem to fall off course for every little thing that happens. Both of them come to church. Both of them may read their Bible. Both of them may tithe. But could it be that there's a difference between you just learning the Word of God and actually understanding and practicing the Word of God? Here's an example. How many of you know what knowledge is based on this sentence? The square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares on the two sides containing the right angles. How many of you know what that is? All right, there's a few math nerds in here. I get it. That's the knowledge of geometry. Now, how many of you took geometry in school? Oh, there's a lot more hands went up. You know what that tells me? You were taught it, but you didn't practice it. You didn't hang on to it. Now, I can plead the fifth because I went to public high school and we didn't have a lot of classes. I never took geometry. I'm not sure if I ever learned 2 plus 2. I think I was in one of those 2 plus 5 classes. But that's knowledge. You can go to school, you can learn it, and you can write it down on paper so that you can get a grade at the end of the semester. But I would dare say there's some people in this room who learned about geometry that still don't understand geometry. By the way, most people that understand geometry, they're on a different place than the rest of us. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Take the carpenter, for example. The carpenter, when he's going to lay out a floor plan, he wants perfect 90-degree angles at every corner, right? That's the way it should be. So that carpenter, he can draw a 3-4-5 triangle on the floor, and he can lay it out, and he may not be able to quote all the numbers, and he may not be able to give you the equation. In fact, he may not even be able to write it down on paper. But you know what he does understand? That this sequence of events is going to lead to my corners being perfectly square, 90 degree in each of the corners. That is practicing and understanding and using. That's the difference between the two. We have the knowledge of God available to us. Where do we get it? The Word of God. It's available to all of us. Any of us can read it. If you're saved, all of us can understand it. If you're a child of God, understanding is available to all of us. But just because you read it doesn't mean that you understand it. Just because, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and if you saw it off, that's fine. But just because a man puts the word pastor or reverend or has an ordination certificate behind his name doesn't mean he understands it either. Just because some guy gets a degree online and supposes himself to be an ordained minister of the gospel doesn't mean that he is. Doesn't mean that he understands it. And without understanding, watch, you can't grow and apply the Word of God. That's the reason why, and I hope this makes sense, you can sit in church for years and listen to preaching for decades and not really ever be changed. And the sad truth is, there's a lot of people that way. Now let me ask you a question. Is there ever a place in your Christian life when God demands blind obedience? You know what the answer to that is? Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be some places in your life that you don't understand. And what God wants you to do is trust and obey. But for the most part, with meditation in the Word of God, God brings understanding. Never, ladies and gentlemen, settle for the fact that, well, I've just read the Bible, and I've listened to my podcast, and I've read my little 2-minute devotional, and therefore, I must be prepared for the day. Now, you have to actually apply the Word of God. And behind every command that God has are two goals for your life. Number one, it is for your good. You know, God never has anything but good in store for you. Now, watch. You may not always understand that. Ever have anything happen in your life and think, this can't be good? But God has a purpose. And I may not understand it. And so the psalmist says, Lord, teach me, because I want to understand it.
and God always has His glory. Your good and His glory are always the purposes behind the commands that God has. God is always going to act in a way that reflects His glory. Always. Because that is true with His character. So, as I navigate through the wilderness of this world, there has to be a keen sense for what I learn, and it has to come through the Word of God. Now, let's look at the verses again. Teach me, O Lord, the way of the statutes. It's amazing that He doesn't say, teach me the way of the world. Teach me the way of my family. Teach me the way of my children. Teach me the way of society. No, teach me the way of your statutes. And I shall keep them unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Would you look this way for a moment? I say again, if there's been a place in your Christian life where the truth of the Word of God was revealed, and a principle, a conviction, a standard was raised in your heart, but yet you've changed, can you say that you've kept it till the end? Lord, I pray that you'll help us as we navigate through life with the temptations that come to us and the frustrations that sometimes we don't have answers for. Lord, I pray that